While Americans have become more accepting of gays and lesbians in recent years, according to a lot of polls and some changes in state laws, some members of the LGBT community are still often overlooked and struggling with violence and discrimination, the transgendered community.
Hundreds of trans people are killed around the world yearly, and here in the United States, they're twice as likely as anyone to be unemployed. Our next guest is the author of a new account of life as a young trans woman. Janet Mock is her name, and she first came out publicly as being trans in a Marie Claire article in 2011. Her new book is called Redefining Realness: My Path to Womanhood, Identity, Love, and So Much More. Janet, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Sure. Well, this is the first widely published account of life as a young trans woman that we know about. How does it feel to be a first?
It's so interesting. I don't really feel like I'm a first because I feel like I've heard these stories so much in so many different groups. I feel like maybe it's the first published account. So that feels great, but I've heard these stories for so long that I just feel as if I'm adding to a entire canon of people's stories and story sharing and storytelling, and I just hope that it redefining realness empowers others to step forward and tell their story.
Why did you feel it was important to do that?
I think I continue to say that the only reason why I write is because I feel like I should be writing this story I didn't have growing up, and I also just, I guess, blankly feel for a lot of marginalized people that not enough of our stories are being told. And so by, you know, writing the story, I think that it offers reflection to people who grow up different, who are told that their lives are not valuable and worthy and legitimate. And I think that by having a book that is widely published, it kind of puts like a valuable stamp, at least in the media culture, that our lives do matter and our stories are worth hearing.
Mm-hmm. Who did you look toward for inspiration?
I think I looked to a lot of other writers, the writers that I sought refuge and reflection in as a young person sitting in the library in Honolulu, Hawaii, where I grew up. I think about writers like Alice Walker and Zora Neale Hurston and Toni Morrison and Maya Angelou. I think that they gave me reflection as a young person and enabled me to dream of a life of possibility for myself as a young woman. And yeah, that's kind of who I looked to.
Mm-hmm. You wrote about in your book about the Marie Claire article that came out in 2011 that kind of gave a synopsis, I suppose, of your life so far and coming out as a trans woman. But it didn't sound like you as you read it back to yourself. What was amiss about that story?
I just think it's really hard for a media portrait to discuss complexity and nuance in a space that only offers maybe 2,300 words. Whereas I think in a book, you have so much more space, you know, 80 to 90,000 words to discuss a lot more layers. And I think that the piece was, I think it did what it needed to do at the time, which was for me to step forward as a trans woman, as someone who had transitioned as a very young person, as an adolescent. It did that part. It did that part well. But I think that a lot of it wasn't able to be communicated in that piece because you only can do so much with the space allotted.
So, do you feel like you could sufficiently do that in the course of a book, as opposed to, you know, a 2-page article in a magazine, for example?
Oh, yeah, I definitely think so. Just having that much space and also someone's attention for much longer. I think there's just more engagement in a book compared to a magazine article. And I think also it's audience and it's also the lack of filter. Like in that piece, there was an editor there and there was also a writer who was writing about me in my voice, whereas this book is unfiltered. Mm-hmm. It's me and maybe some collaboration with my editor who gives me notes. But mostly it's very purely me, unfiltered, not anyone else's gatekeeping or anything. It's fully me. And so you get a more honest account.
Yeah. Did you still have any fears or reservations when you're setting out to write that book?
No, I don't think I had many many fears. I think that I dealt with a lot of the fears in the space of writing me at my computer or me at my notebook. That was where I allowed myself to just be a little scared. I never calculated audience when it came to writing my book. It was very much about things that I hadn't heard before being said in other books that I had read from this genre, specifically talking about the genre of trans memoir. And for me, it was just, how can I be as honest as possible? How can I hopefully give people something new, because it's for me, I guess, and just layered experiences and all of that. So I wasn't too scared of honesty or rawness or, I guess, vivid prose. But yeah, I think that I try to tackle that in the first draft of the book and then try to continue forward there, just staying honest.
Well, we'll continue talking after the news with Janet Mock, and we'll also talk about some of the challenges that that many trans people face, and we'll also take your calls as well. Janet Mock is the author of Redefining Realness, her story of life as a young trans woman.
And we'd like to hear from you. Are you, or is anyone you know, transgendered? What has the experience been like? Are there role models that young trans people can look to, or do you have advice to share? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're speaking with Janet Mock about her experience being a young trans woman. Her book is called Redefining Realness.
And we'd like to hear from you. Are you, or is someone you know, transgendered? What is the experience like for you or the person you know? Give a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email talk@WPR.org.
Let's go right to the phones and talk to Betty in Delavan. Hi, Betty.
Hi.
What's your comment?
I came from a family of 12, and my brother, who is now my sister, is a twin. And he said it's hard for me because he has been my brother's for, I'm 54, so a long time. Mm. But she takes a lot of flack for the life that she's living. He's on Facebook as Corinne Jutz, and he's got Bill after it. But that's the hardest part for me. I still think of him as my brother. That's very strange for me. But Corinne took a lot of crap going from the job that she had, and now she's a writer and writes poetry. But she still takes a lot of flack.
Hmm. Betty, well, thanks for sharing that story. And Janet, my question for you is, well, what's your response to that? And did your sibling have the same challenges as we hear from Betty?
My siblings did not have the same challenge. I think that transition and finding yourself and all of that stuff, it does become a family issue when all are involved. But I think that when true love and understanding and affirmation is also involved in that, you decide to go on that journey and you try your best to use the correct pronouns, you know, the correct name for this person that you love that's in your family. And I think that that's what's always important. I know that I have two younger brothers and two older sisters from a big family of five kids. And everyone moved at a rapid rate. And they didn't make it so much about them and what they're used to in terms of their interactions with me. They made it very much about me and choosing to stand by me as I made this very difficult journey. And I think that has helped me a lot by having that family unit that decided to stand behind me and beside me and support me.
Thanks again for your call, Betty. Let's talk to Andrea in Milwaukee. Hi, Andrea.
Hi.
What's your question or comment?
Actually, I'm transgendered. I am actually a registered nurse. I have known since I was 3 years old. I have great family support, great friends. Actually, I'm in my early 40s right now, so it's been a lot easier as I've gotten older. I got the actual final surgery when I was 23. Mm-hmm. And people thought that I might have been too young to make that decision, but I never had any regrets and I don't look back.
Thanks, Andrea. What do you say to that, Janet?
I think it's powerful. I think anytime that we can step into who we are and declare our truth and live our life very openly, that and also be embraced by those that we love, that's a powerful and empowering experience to hear about. So I'm just so happy that she can live this life and be herself mm-hmm. safely and in love.
She mentioned that there were some concerns that she was too young at 23, that maybe that was too early. What's your response to that?
I don't think it's ever too early to be yourself. That would be my simplest response.
I wanted to talk to you about bullying in schools, because I imagine that this is a pretty big issue that transgendered students have to face. And did you have to deal with that, and how did you deal with it?
Yes, I do detail in my book, Redefining Realness, about my youth experiences, specifically being in school, a space that's often very much gendered, right? It's separated by gender, boys here, girls there, and my struggles with that when we're talking about restroom use, when we're talking about sports, and all these different spaces that trans youth and trans students have to navigate and also have to fight for right in school. I think schools should be a space that are welcoming and affirming of young people, regardless of their gender identity or sexual orientation. And I think for me, you know, there was name calling and there were all those kind of things going on. But I think that I had really great teachers who did role model very supportive behavior in the class and would not accept intolerance. And I think that that really enabled me to thrive through school. I was president, vice president of my class. I played tuba in the marching band. I was captain of the volleyball team. I was very much involved. And I also left school, graduated with the only scholarship to college that our school had at the time. And that was all because I had a very supportive school environment that made me feel welcomed and affirmed, and as if this is also my school, so I deserve space there.
Could you give some specific examples of how teachers have, in your experience, fostered that safe environment, or how they could today?
I think the easiest way is to not accept any intolerance. The number one thing would, if there's name calling in class and you notice it, you nip it in the bud immediately. If someone is calling a student, specifically a trans student, the wrong name or misgendering them, meaning calling them the incorrect pronouns, then you reprimand that behavior. And by role modeling great behavior in that way, by saying that, no, we're going to respect this student's identity and we're all going to accept her as she is or as he is or as they are, then I think that helps us all push forward. And I think the teacher is the number one contact to role model that kind of behavior.
What advice would you give a young trans person who might be bullied right now, and how should they handle the situation?
I think that, you know, find adults that who can advocate for you. Sometimes, you know, parents aren't able to do that, but maybe there's a counselor or teacher who've always treated you with kindness. Maybe you start off right there and you develop a relationship with them somewhere that's a safe space for you. I think the number one thing would be to find people who are going to actually listen to you and affirm you in what you're saying, who are actually going to advocate for you within those spaces. That would be my number one thing. And also just to continue to craft those safe spaces for you through safe relationships, relationships that affirm you and make you feel as if you're heard.
Did you feel like you had that support network growing up?
Definitely. I think that's definitely something I'm also continuing to feel like I'm repeating a little bit. Like, I think I had that at home, I had that at school, and I had that around my friends. And so it's no coincidence that at, you know, 18 years old, I was quite well-adjusted as a young person because I had people around me who validated me and affirmed me. And I think that I keep on saying the word affirm because it's so important. I think a lot of trans people, especially young trans people, are told that who they are is wrong and that they're making it up. And I think that the more that we support these people and start listening to them, they have fuller lives and they have a better chance for greater possibilities in life.
Now, your boyfriend, Aaron, features prominently in your book as helping you come to terms with your identity. How did that relationship develop?
How did it develop? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I think like any young people in a urban environment, I went to a bar and I met him, and we, you know, there was a spark and a connection, and we went on a few dates. And after a few dates, I wanted to tell him my story. And when I told him my story, that enabled us to go to a larger, I guess, more honest place together in our relationship. And we really got to know each other. And I think that the one thing, I think trans people's stories tend to be more dramatically told, but I think that we're all looking for the same thing. Anytime we're going into relationships with people, we want to be with people who will affirm us and love us for exactly who we are. And that's what I've been able to build with Aaron.
How long did you wait before you told him?
I detail that in the book, and I think I kind of want to keep that open so people can introduce that on the, you know, figure that out on their own. I don't want to give too much away within the context of the book.
Well, another pioneering woman in the trans community is Laverne Cox, an actress in the film Orange is the New Black. She was recently on The Katie Couric Show, and Katie asked her about transitioning. Laverne said that people put too much of an emphasis on transitioning and not enough emphasis on the daily struggles of being trans, and her response went viral. Let's take a listen to it.
The preoccupation with transition and with surgery objectifies trans people, and then we don't get to really deal with the real lived experiences. The reality of trans people's lives is that so often we're targets of violence. We experience discrimination disproportionately to the rest of the community. Our unemployment rate is twice the national average. If you're a trans person of color, it's four times the national average. The homicide rate in the LGBT community is highest amongst trans women. And when we focus on transition, we don't actually get to talk about those things. There's a young woman named Ilan Nettles who on August 17th was just walking down the street with some friends, you know, minding her own business, and she was catcalled by a couple of guys. And one of them, once they realized she was trans, she was beaten into a coma, and 5 days later she died. This is the reality of so many trans people's lives in this country, trans women of color, whose lives are in danger simply for being who they are. And we're looking for justice for Ilan's murder, and we're looking for justice for so many trans people across this country. And by focusing on bodies, we don't focus on the lived realities of that oppression and that discrimination.
You're so well spoken about.
Janet, what's your reaction as you listen to that? What should the public conversation about transgendered people be?
I think it should be the same conversation that we have when we're talking about women. I identify as my work as feminist work, and I believe that when we reduce people to their bodies, we objectify them and we strip them of their humanity. I think that that's what Laverne is talking to at the root of it. It's when we focus only on people's bodies and the surgeries that they have, we don't focus on their humanity, on their lives, on their loves, on the things that they want to do, on their passions and their pain, you know? And so for so long, trans people's stories have only been looked at as oddities, as body parts, not so much about what it's like to live in a culture in which there is so much gendered behavior where all of us are under, no matter if we're trans or not, we're all under this gender system that tells us if you're born this way, then you need to act this way. And so I think that trans people buck against that a lot, and therefore we get a lot of discussion around our lives and our identities. And so I love what Laverne said. The day after, I wrote a piece for Elle magazine about that issue, and I think that it was very amazing to see that it opened up a new conversation, and hopefully journalists who are listening to these stories are now asking better, more insightful questions.
Well, Janet, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
We've been speaking with Janet Mock about her new book, Redefining Realness. It's a memoir about her experience as a young trans woman.